Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partner of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker. And in this podcast, we are going to run down and shed light on all things Pocket Aces. We're going to talk about the finer points of syndicate ownership. We're going to discuss what our fans, our partners, have asked us to talk about. We're going to touch news on the outside of it, within the industry at large, outside of our syndicate, and as you are finding out as you're listening to this episode, we are going to talk a little bit about the Kentucky Oaks history, since that first Friday in May and the first Saturday in May are, what, next week, I think, at this point? So
next week.
Yeah, so we're getting there, and it's an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to it. Like, we're finally here. We've been talking about these, you know, we've been kind of covering pretty extensively, like, the Derby Trail, and so you kind of told me before we started recording, you're like, you know what? We're going to talk about the Oaks. All we've done is talk about the Derby, so let us talk about the ladies. So here we are. Here is our Lilies for the Fillies episode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was actually, we going into the episode, our discussion was that we were going to talk about the history of the Derby and the history of the Oaks. And I started, pulling up, just doing a little bit of research on everything, and one of the first places I went was to twinspires.com, and
which is owned by Churchill Downs, for those who don't know.
Churchill Downs, yep. The first thing I noticed is right across the top of the main page that, they got Bet Now, they got offers, they got handicapping, reward, support, and Kentucky Derby. And I looked all over. And nowhere on the page, shame on you, Twin Spires and Churchill Downs.
Or at least easily found.
Oaks. Even mentioned, not at least, yeah. Again, this is the main page.
Yeah.
And I get it. Everybody wants to talk about the Derby. The Derby is one of the most exciting and important races in North America. But damn it, let's give the ladies a little bit of their due. And so at that point, I thought to myself, you know what? We're going to scrap the Derby talk today, and we're going to talk about the Oaks.
Yep.
Because the Fillies are important too.
Well,
and as a father of two daughters, I know that too often in our society, women can get a little short shrift at times, and we're not going to let that happen on this podcast. Right.
You heard the man. So we'll be discussing kind of a history of the Oaks, and next week when we. Did we confirm that Mark is going to be able to join us? I know he's a busy man too, but have we confirmed that Mark will be coming on next week for our Derby Oaks analysis chat thing that we've got planned?
That is the plan at this particular juncture, yes.
Okay, cool. So there you go, folks. So make sure you also tune in next week, because that's going to be, it's going to be a long episode. I don't think anybody thinks otherwise, but it's going
to
be...
We may have to break it into a couple parts.
But it's going to be a very interesting episode, so I definitely encourage you guys to tune back in next week. But yeah, today we're going to talk about the Kentucky Oaks, and we're going to talk a little bit about its history and how it got started. And there's some, just as there are remarkable streaks and remarkable accomplishments in the Derby, there are several remarkable, accomplishments and talented trainers and riders and owners and fillies themselves that have gone on to do great things. And so I'm really excited to kind of get into that and break down that first Friday in May, the Think Pink Day, where everybody comes in dressed in their best pink. But before we kind of jump into that, let us do our in-house updates, because we'll get excited and we'll forget. So we'll do some in-house updates. If you have anything that you kind of want to run through real quick. And I know we had our open house. It was pretty successful. People were very happy. I got a lot of really good recommendations from you guys about potential topics for next time, topics that you guys had initially listened to us talk about, but you had hoped maybe we would expand a bit more on it. So we've got those in rotation as well. But do we have any availability changes after that open house? How did you feel that it went? Did you think it was a success? It was our biggest one yet.
I thought it was fantastic, by far our biggest one yet. I need to give a special thanks to my wife, Scarlett, who busted her hump. Getting everything together and taking care of everybody that came through. And, I appreciate everybody that did take the time. And we had a lot of folks that traveled a fairly long way to come up. And or come down, come up, come
Yep.
out, whichever from whichever direction they came in. And it was a really, really nice event. Silver Springs had everything running smoothly and ready to go, and it was nice having it all at one place for a change. And just it was just a really, really nice morning. And I admit I haven't been out to Silver Springs in a couple months. Just schedule and weather and everything else just hasn't really worked out. So it's good for me to get back out and see all the horses again too, and got to really dazzle folks with my camera work as I filmed everything. If you've watched the live stream that we recorded, you've been dazzled, I feel sure. So yeah,
I believe
overall, it's a really, really great event, and just so appreciative of everybody that was involved. Patty, for you as well, and for everybody that made it a success. And yeah, it's I'm ready to do it again in the fall.
I know. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this. And it's like we ran our first in-app live stream kind of test with the on for the Pocket Aces partners on the Stable Connect app. And I'll share kind of something that Jonathan had told me, and he said, because they are him and the his partner who kind of they'll check in on stuff occasionally, and they and it was like our first time doing the live stream, and they wanted to make sure that it was running smoothly, and they had tuned in to watch our live stream through the Stable Connect, the partner app, and they watched both of them watched for a bit, and later on I got a message from him, and he said, we were watching your live stream, and I sent screenshots of what Pocket Aces was doing to other people, and I said, this is how it's done. Like, this is great work from Pocket Aces. Like, this is how you do it. So we work
Excellent.
hard. We're very happy that it's starting to show and that people are loving it. Like, we had a bunch of partners text me later on, told me they were watching, and they really appreciated that we had a live stream going since they weren't on Facebook. So like that live stream was their only way to see it. So, we're very happy that more people than ever got to participate in some way. So.
And I think we will definitely be taking advantage of those live streams for other things in the future. When we can get out for works, I think when we get out to see the babies. So keep an eye on all that. If you're not a partner and you're listening and you want to see some of those live streams, shoot me an email, info@pocketacesracing.com, and we'll see if we can get that done. So let's
Absolutely.
talk about the Oaks.
Yes, let's go.
It's the race began at the first edition, same as the Derby. It was in 1875, and as you mentioned, Churchill Downs, the found, it was actually the Louisville Jockey Club at that time. And the race, along with the Kentucky Derby, the Clark Handicap, and the Falls City Handicap, all those founded by Meriwether Lewis Clark, the grandson of William Clark of Lewis and Clark Expedition. So that's
And the Oaks was run
how
2 days
many
after the Derby too, if I remember correctly, too.
it was on May 19th was the first one in 1875, so I believe that may be correct. And so it's been around for just as long as the Derby has. It was initially it was
It was a mile and a half
modeled,
as
yeah, that's
well
right,
after
it
the
was
end.
modeled after the British Epsom Oaks. And it was a mile and a half, as you mentioned, at that time. And I guess it was a mile and a half up until 1890, I think. So over the first 15 editions were a mile and a half. Then it was cut back to a mile and a quarter. Then it was a mile and a sixteenth. And then at 1920 is when it went to a mile and an eighth. And then it went back to a mile and a sixteenth again for a while in the 40s. So it's been all over the place. And it was in 1982 that it went to a mile and an eighth, and it has stayed at a mile and an eighth since 1982, when it was won by Blush with Pride, ridden by Bill Shoemaker, and tr the trainer being Dwayne Lucas. So that's when it was that's when it became a mile and an eighth permanently. The first winner, or the winner of the first race there in 1875, Vinaigrette, the jockey was J. Houston. I'm not sure who J is, but the last name was Houston. And they don't even have the name of the trainers that won from 1875 to 1881. And there's a few others over those early years. They don't have the trainer of record that was involved with those winners, which is remarkable. So yeah, and that was the very early days. Again, here we've got kind of give the breakdown of the distances a little more accurately. 1875 to 1890, again, 1.5 miles, and then 91 to 95 was 1.25 miles. Then 96, 1896 to 1919, 1.16 miles, and 1920 to 1941, 1.08 miles. Then 42 to 81 was 1.16 miles, and then 82 ever since. So I would love to know the history and what caused them to change the
Yeah.
distances all those times over the years.
Well, I do
What?
know. I do know because the Derby actually had the same problem, where the distance had changed quite a bit, and if I believe correctly, I read it somewhere that initially it started in its initial runnings in like in the 1875. Its initial runnings, it was like that mile and a half because it was modeled after the Epsom competition. It was one of the longest running. I think it's the Derby. Like it's considered the Derby. So like when you say the Derby, most people in Europe will assume the Epsom Derby.
Right.
But I think if I remember it correctly, when I was reading it earlier, they said that patrons were complaining that it was boring. Because
Really?
the mile and a half was like too long for them to have to sit through or something. So that is the first time they shortened it. Like as wild as that is, like that is the first time they shortened it because according to the people who came in, I think it was like a crowd of 10,000. Like it was a pretty big crowd. According to them, it was too long and it was boring.
That's interesting. Well, it was it, from 1875 to 1895, the Derby was running at 1.5 miles,
Yeah.
and then it went to in 1896 to 1.25 miles, and that's what the Derby's been ever since. Interesting that boredom, that extra 30 seconds,
Yeah.
was such a pain in the tail for some people.
I feel like that's humanity's bane anyway. Like just people being bored gets us in trouble more often than it does any good.
So yeah, that's just that's interesting. So it, so anyway, that's the kind of the
Yeah.
history of the distances. It despite the fact that again nobody has been talking about it, or so few people have been talking about it, 100,000 people or more go to that race every year,
Yeah.
and it's been that way for a long time. It's I mean, there's often more people at the Oaks than are at the Belmont or even the Preakness. So,
Yeah.
how it gets so little attention, and granted, yes, I know it's a party, and I know typically when you buy Derby tickets, you got to get the Oaks tickets too. But that's not always the case, but still, more than 100,000 people showing up
Yeah.
for the Oaks, it needs to get a little more attention than
Yeah.
being. And let's get on a network that people have as opposed to the NBC Sports Network or
Or on
wherever
the apps
else.
and stuff, because I feel like that's kind of a big gatekeeping issue for a lot of people. Is like
Oh,
that
absolutely.
like if your internet's not fast enough, like you will not like if you want to watch it on anything larger than your phone, your system's not going to be able to handle it. Because I've run into that. Like I have very fast internet and I have run into that on running it on a TV. So it's
Right.
like, I agree. Like it needs to come back to some kind of easily accessible cable situation or live
And
stream on YouTube,
yeah,
like everything
it
else.
needs to be somewhere more. It's just,
Yeah.
let's give it some let's
Yeah.
give the ladies some love. The purse for the Oaks this year, I believe, is going to be 1.25 million. And instead of running for the roses, they're running for lilies. And man, that would just be so great to have a filly running in the Oaks,
Yeah.
running for a race to win a race that's been won by the names by horses, but like Silver Bullet Day, Ashado, Lemons Forever, Rags to Riches, Proud Spell, Rachel Alexander. I mean,
Yeah.
man, just some fantastic horses, over the years that have won. won that race. Last year won by Pretty Mischievous, ridden by our good friend Tyler Gaffalione and trained by Brennan Walsh. You know, it just Monomoy Girl, of course, won the one in 2018. Just Catherine Sophia, another great name in fillies over the more recent years, and you know, just some fantastic fillies. Man, I'd love to. I would be every bit as excited to have a filly in the Oaks as I would be to have a colt in the Derby. No doubt about it.
Oh yeah, I kind of, you know, because we've been doing some pretty extensive like Triple Crown kind of talk too, but I don't know if a lot of people know, but there is a Triple Tiara, and I wish they would also give that more coverage as well, because like, you know, it's roughly in the same time frame, if I remember correctly, as the Triple Crown. So it's like, you know, as hard as we talk about how hard that is for the colts, like these races are not any easier on the fillies, and if you have a filly who can pull off, you know, victories in the Kentucky Oaks, the Black Eyed Susan at Pimlico, and then the Acorn at the Belmont, which I suspect, you know, that'll be part of the move to Saratoga as well, since all of that racing is at Saratoga for the next at least 2 years. You know, but that's, I mean, it still deserves to have its moment in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I think it's disappointing that it kind of just gets a little forgotten in the shuffle. Like, it just kind of, like, what was intended to be its counterpart has kind of just become a informal thing sometimes, or at least it feels like it is, because, like, I definitely don't hear about that anymore.
Right.
Like, you never hear about that anymore.
Well, you know, just keep in mind that, the Triple Tiara, technically, it is made of, at this point anyway, the races are in New York only. They have attempted at different times to have the Kentucky Oaks, the Black Eyed Susan, and the Coaching Club of America Oaks become the Triple Crown for fillies or the Triple Tiara, but you know, for whatever reason, it's never, you know, it never did catch on. But the official Triple Tiara is made up of races in New York. It's the Acorn Stakes, the Coaching Club of America at Saratoga, and then the Alabama at Saratoga. That is the official Triple Tiara. Now, the current proposal to try to get a Triple Tiara for a, you know, nationwide Triple Crown races for 3 year old fillies is Kentucky Oaks, the Georgie Mitchell Stakes run at Pimlico, and then the Acorn at Belmont. So that's been what has been discussed. But for whatever reason, you know, it just has not caught on, like, quite frankly, like it should.
So now that we've kind of gone through a quick little history, a little background on the Kentucky Oaks and some of its counterparts and, you know, some of the struggles with getting a national Triple Tiara to be recognized, which, you know, maybe we should start a movement. Let's start a movement, get it recognized.
Get the petitions going.
Yeah. But let's actually move into some of these performances in the Kentucky Oaks that have been so good that they have set some pretty wild records, but also incredible records. And I think some of our fans and a lot of folks on here will recognize a lot of these names. And there are some fantastic achievements on here. These records are pretty wild.
Yeah, you know, the one that I find very interesting, there were two jockeys that were brothers that won the race 3 years apart. Goose Gans won in 1913, and then Roscoe Tarleton Goose won in 1916. So, you know, that was interesting. Calumet Farm has won more Oaks as an owner than anybody else, but they have not won since 1979.
Yep. That was their heyday for like that mid 1900s was like their heyday, wasn't it?
They won in 43, 49, yeah. 52, 53, 56, and then in 1979, and have not won it since. Most wins by a trainer, Woody Stevens won 5 times. Dwayne Lucas has won 5 times. And Lucas, man, he broke a long drought. He won in 82, 84, 89, and 90. when he was just, in the 80s, when he was basically just the most dominant trainer in North America. And then he won again in 2022, when he
Not
won
32
with
years
Super
later,
O,
something like that?
32 years, 32 years later,
That's wild.
which is just remarkable. Notably, there's only been one female jockey to win. Rosie Napravnik won twice in 2012 on Believe You Can, 2014 on Untappable. And the longest shot ever to win was 2006. Do you remember the horse?
It was the stupid long shot. No, I don't remember it, but I think it was.
Lemons Forever.
Oh yeah, she's become a pretty good broodmare if I remember correctly. I think she went on to produce an Oaks winner. Let me
It's
find
very
out.
possible. I don't know.
Let me find out. Now I'm curious. I need to go
Okay.
see.
Okay. She did sell for 2.5 million in 2007, and she was named the 2017 Kentucky Breedmare of the Year
All right.
for Forever Unbridled and Unbridled Forever.
Oh yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting that it is, I think, what is his name? The owner has like this weird like name, well, not like a weird, but he's like a very consistent naming ritual where they're not like the most like creative names ever, but all of them seem to win everything and like
Right,
every
right.
time, like the more just calm and collected the name is, the better the horse is. So Lemons Forever did Unbridled Forever. That was her daughter. She won the Grade One Ballerina. She won the Silver Bullet A. She was third in the Oaks. So I was right in thinking that she produced an Oaks horse. She was third in the Longines Kentucky Oaks. She placed in a bunch of the what we had talked about potentially being like the Triple Tiara races. And then it was the same thing with her daughter, Forever Unbridled. She was more of like an older distaff horse because she won the distaff. She had the Purcell Ensign, she had the Apple Blossom. Forever Unbridled was definitely kind of her swan song offspring. Because that after that, I think the only horses she produced at that point that had any kind of black type was Forever D'Oro, who was third in the Curlin Stakes, and he's a sire now. So she's kind of just been, she's kind of not had anything in a while, and I mean, you can't blame her. She's been a broodmare a hot minute, and she has nothing left to prove to anybody. She's been a broodmare of the year.
That's exactly right.
So.
And of course, I know you're gonna know this.
Yeah.
The largest winning margin,
That's Rachel
Rachel
Alexandra.
Alexander, 20 and a quarter lengths.
That's wild. That's what, about as close to a pole as it's gonna get without it.
That is to win a Grade One stake like that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Then she turns around and goes and wins the Preakness.
Yep.
So,
The second leg of the Triple Crown.
just an absolutely fantastic filly. She did not have the greatest broodmare career, but you know what? That's okay. We'll forgive her.
I mean, she what she had she produced, I think just two of them,
Jesse's
and
Dream and Rachel's Valentina.
yep,
Yep.
and
And
Rachel's
she had a real hard.
Valentina actually did quite well for herself. She I'm pretty sure she picked up graded.
She's black type. Yeah,
She's
graded
black
stakes
type.
placed.
Yep, and then Jess's Dream unfortunately just recently passed away from I think a colic episode. Or no, he was euthanized to laminitis, due to laminitis.
Laminitis, okay.
And he was pensioned from stud duty in 2023. Yeah. That's
Gotcha.
sad because he was, offspring like that, where it's in Jess's Dream case, he was out of a horse of the year, by a horse of the year in Curlin, and we've talked plenty about how remarkable Curlin was on his own merits. In those situations, like that's literally what you want to have, it's like that is the old kind of adage of breeding the best to the best and hoping for the
Absolutely.
best, and that's kind of what we got here. And but from what I've heard, Rachel's Valentina on her own merits is potentially going to be a pretty good brood mare. I mean, she's what, she was second in the Grade One Ashland, so yeah. So and she I think she's going to do well for herself. And I mean, you can still visit Rachel Alexandra too. You know,
Oh, yeah.
obviously, you know, you have to sometimes look out and snag one of those like tickets, because man, you guys, if you thought new stuff selling out was bad and how fast people like buy new things, you have not met the fleet fingers of horse fans who want to see their favorite horses. Like,
That's right.
Rachel Alexandra tickets sell out instantly. Zenyatta tickets for her birthday bash, I heard somewhere, sold out in like 2 minutes. So like, never underestimate people wanting to see their favorite oaks and classic winners here.
That's pretty impressive. So the current or the record for fastest time at the current distance of a mile and an eighth,
Yep.
1 minute 48 seconds and 1 minute 48.28 seconds. She shares the devil in 2020. So we've talked a good bit about some of the history and some of the highlights and big winners. Let's talk a little bit now about the prep races, because just like there is for the Derby, there are a series of prep races for which horses gain or fillies gain points. And they're again like the Derby, they start back and late in the 2-year-old season, and for lower point take or point totals. So the road for the Oaks started in September with the Pocahontas at Churchill Downs. Then you had the Alcibiades at Keeneland. The Pocahontas was won by VB's Dream, and Candied won the Alcibiades, and then it continued on through the fall with the Chandelier at Santa Anita, the Frisette at Aqueduct, the Rags to Riches at Churchill in October, then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies this year was won by Just FYI. And then
Who's
you had the
the
Golden Rod
most likely
Stakes.
favorite, I suspect. When they start releasing those past performances, I think she's probably gonna end up the bet like the morning line at least favorite. This is kind of my prediction here for that.
Then you had again you had the Golden Rod at Churchill, the Demoiselle at Aqueduct, the Starlet at Los Alamitos, the Untappable at the Fairgrounds, and then that was it for the 2-year-old races. And then we get into a long list. Again, you had kind of like the you know
No.
these are the 10 and 20 point races, kind of like we saw with the Derby,
Yeah, in the early spring.
Santa Ynez in January, Busanda at Aqueduct, Silver Bullet Day at the Fairgrounds. The Martha Washington is at Oaklawn, and then we get down into Florida with the Forward Gal at Gulfstream. That was in February. Then you had the Suncoast at Tampa Bay, also February. The Las Virgenes in Santa Anita, and the Rachel Alexandra at the
Yep,
Fairgrounds.
that is an Oaks race.
And then we get out into New Mexico with the Sunland Park Oaks. And then you have the UAE Oaks, which we don't often hear a whole lot about unless you're watching
For the UAE Derby.
other Maidan races, and then the Honeybee at Oaklawn. We get into March and you see the Cincinnati Trophy, then Aqueduct again, the Buescher, then Devona Dale at Gulfstream, the Saint Isabel at Santa Anita, then the Bourbonnette back at the Turfway, Fairground Oaks at the in March 23rd, the Fantasy at Oaklawn, and then the Gulfstream Park Oaks on March 30th. And then we get into Keeneland with the Ashland Stakes, April. Well, that was April 5th. Santa Anita Oaks was the next day, and the Gazelle at Aqueduct was also on April 6th. So that's the list of the point races for the Oaks. And now we can give you this just the quick little rundown of the point leaders.
Well, and a lot of these too, I'm hoping that Twin Spires is a bit more put together than their recent kind of thing with the Derby points has been. But I know I was looking over these because we're all gonna talk about some of we're gonna talk about as close to the whole field as we can get. We're trying to kind of cut this a little closer so all these defections can kind of get through. So that way we don't put all this time and effort in talking about a horse and then you find out, oh, they're not running.
Yeah,
So,
we'll dig deeper when we know
yeah.
who's actually in the race, but
So,
that'd be good.
yeah. So, but by and large, these are, and if you haven't heard of these horses, don't feel too bad because, like we kind of said earlier, there's not been a lot of talk and a lot of coverage, but you know, at top, so right now sitting there 150 is Tarifa or Tarifa.
I
And she
assume
is it Tarifa?
I don't know how it's Tarifa, Tarifa.
I thought it was Tarifa or Tarifa. But either way, she's the Fairground Oaks winner. There's Where's My Ring, with 125 points. Then we've got Power Squeeze, the Gulfstream Park Oaks, and the Suncoast winner with 120. And then we have Leslie's Rose at 115. She is the Ashland winner. And I now that I well and I suspect they just put points in, they didn't put the races in, but she is the Ashland winner. She was a very she's on this list of things, like she's one of the, I think, one of the most expensive horses up here, like at one point. Yeah.
$1.15 million. Mandy Pope's Whisper Hill Farm
Yep.
is
So
the
that's an
buyer.
expensive horse. And then at 105, we have Torpedo Anna, which I love that name. At 90, we have Just FYI. She is the Juvenile Fillies winner, and she just returned. She ran second in that Ashland. And then at 66 points, we have Jin Jin. And then 60 points, we have Fiona's Magic, who was, I think, the Gulfstream. One of the Gulfstream, it's not, it wasn't the Gulfstream Park Oaks, that was Power Squeeze, but she dropped an absolute bombshell in one of these Gulfstream Oaks prep races, and she kind of popped herself up really suddenly out of that field as well. And then Tappet Gently, 54, and then Everland, who is the former claimer turned Oaks horse, also has 54. She won the Bourbonnette Oaks at Turfway. And then we have Lemon Muffin, which that's another name I love. At 50 points, the Honeybee winner. This is the Dwayne Lucas horse. She also kind of popped out of nowhere. Like, I think she was a maiden going into the Oaks race. But who else other than Dwayne Lucas takes a maiden and lands her in the Kentucky Oaks starting gate? And then we have kind of in a four-way tie here with those 50 points. We have Into Champagne, Ways and Means, and Our Pretty Women. And then at 34, we have Candied. We have Recharge with 30, and then again with 30, we have Who Could Ask for More, and then 25 Impel, who was, I think, kind of the hope in the Ashland. She kind of faded, but she did pick up some points there. And then we have Carmelina and Scalable, and obviously, you know, we kind of, again, until these PPs get released, we're not going to know for sure who out of this top 20 is going to actually stay in the top 20, but I know a lot of these are, you know, are already on grounds. They're training really well. They're doing well. So, as far as we know, most this is going to comprise most of the field.
Okay, now may I ask a question?
See.
What list are you looking at for that top 20? Because I've got a lot of, I'm looking at the bloodhorse.com right
Okay.
now, and I've got a lot of, there's a lot of horses on there that, on this top 20 that you didn't mention. And I'm not saying one is wrong and one is right, because I don't know. It's just, it's a very different group of horses. Like Regulatory Risk is in here at 11 with 55 points.
Eleven
With
fifty five.
55,
Okay.
11th at with 55
Okay.
points,
I was like,
Chad
how does
Brown
she
filly,
have 1,155 points again?
Chad Brown trained filly owned by Clarovich,
Okay.
by Omaha Beach out of Candy Ride Mare.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm not sure.
This is on Twin Spires.
On Twin Spires,
Yeah.
okay.
So this is, and again, like this is, it'll probably change, but like they've got about as many of these of the top on here, I think, as we can do. But I think a little probably Twin Spires for the future for our listeners. There's probably a better, you're better off just going quite literally to KentuckyDerby.com. And I think that's kind of what they shifted to now is Kentucky, the for all their Kentucky Derby and their Kentucky Oaks stuff.
Gotcha.
Because I feel like Twin Spires at this point is a little, I don't want to say lost, but I think they're kind of tossing in the towel in favor of just posting everything to the official Derby page.
Okay.
But either way, most of these, either way, like we'll have a more specific list for everybody once those past performances are released. Because I mean, as of, I think even as of yesterday, we had defections from the Derby. So, and you know, the horses getting in last second, the horses sneaking in. And it honestly, it's kind of the same thing here on their leaderboard for the Oaks. The only thing really that's changed is some of the point differences, but like it's the same horses. Like, yeah, regulatory risk is on here, ahead of in ninth over here on this board, which also like kind of doesn't bode well that it's this
It
scattered.
shouldn't be that tough,
I
folks.
know.
We know who won all the races.
I
Get them
know.
out. Let's
At
get
this
them
point, we
together.
do.
Come on.
So, and then yeah, there's Ways and Means on here, and there's Monima Gold, who's coming in from that UAE Oaks. And then most of these beyond here, like Band of Gold, Maxi Superfly, Accommodate Ava, All Things Go. They're kind of the tail end of the board here. So, and they're bubble horses, and the bubble fields tend to fluctuate a lot more than kind of the top contenders do. So that's currently where we're sitting, according to the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks website.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll defer to them. They should know.
I
Should
guess we'll
know what
find
they're
out,
talking
won't
about.
we? We will find out one way or another. But do you have any, like, well, we talk about sometimes our favorite Derby horses, but do you have like an Oaks runner that you remember like just really vividly well, or that
Oh,
was a favorite of yours?
Rachel Alexander. I mean,
Yeah.
there's just no way around it. I mean, that was just one of the most staggering performances I can remember.
Yeah.
And I loved before that. I did really like Ashado. I think just a very,
Yeah.
very impressive filly. And Silver Bullet Day,
Yep.
taking it back a little bit further. Even though she's trained by the white-haired one, I did always like Silver Bullet Day.
Yeah. Rachel, I think I was watching, I don't remember like 100% kind of like where it was, but I think we were at a swim meet, because in 2009, all of those wonderful, what, 15 years ago? 15, that ages me terribly. But 15 years ago, when I was 13, we were at a swim meet, and that was the year where my, for whatever reason, we could not get out of this meet. Like, usually I made up some kind of excuse so we didn't have to go, so I could watch the races. Like, we tried, but like this time it was one of those things where like I suspect my trainer got wise to the game, and they kind of backed me into a corner, and I really didn't have much of a choice. But we were watching, I think, I don't remember where, I think I was watching a live stream at like the earliest like live streams they offered. And we were watching it in the car or something, and it was just like, and I just remember watching it, and just she's just disappearing and disappearing and disappearing, and we were just like, we were blown away that you could just go off and win like that. And she didn't even look tired. Like, let's not kid ourselves here. Like, I don't, and folks, if you've never seen it, if you haven't had the chance to watch it, definitely go on YouTube, look up the 2009 Kentucky Oaks. You know, she won that race, and I honestly don't think she sniffed twice at the end. Like, she just did not look tired. Like, when we tell you it was a tour de force, that is the picture definition of a tour de force.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. It was one of the most impressive performances on the racetrack. Maybe the most impressive
Yeah.
performance on the racetrack I've seen since Secretariat
Yeah.
winning the Belmont.
Yeah. Well, I was a big fan of Blind Luck the year after Rachel. I was a huge, I love the closers. I have always loved closers, and that doesn't stem from anything in particular. Like, Zenyatta was definitely a big influence for me, and I think she was a big influence for a lot of people. But I was a huge fan of Blind Luck, and her rivalry with Havre de Grace was just one of the best things. I love that. I loved the later rivalry with Havre de Grace, and Blind Luck for me was just like that tough running. She never knew how to quit. She never knew how to stop trying. And she was just the coolest little horse. I think when I went out to I went out and saw Hollywood Park. I want to say, I think it was in 2010. I went out to Hollywood Park. I think it was like one of the last years that it was open, and I really, really wanted to get out there because I was like, I need pictures. Like I need to remember this somehow. And she was running in something there, and like so, like my first shots, like as a budding photographer, were of blind luck. And like
That's great.
that's it's so cool. And I look back on some of these pictures now, 14 years out, and it's cool. It's really cool to have those
Yeah.
memories.
That's
And
fantastic.
Monomoy Girl, which we mentioned her earlier, but again, if folks didn't know, Monomoy Girl was the full sister to our retired runner Cowboy Diplomacy, who's doing very well, by the way, in his second career.
That is good to, always good to, hear a little bit about the former runners. And bless his heart, he just couldn't quite stay healthy, and just didn't have the same focus that his big sister had. Probably the best way to describe things for him. But he was still a fun horse. He
He was a cool little
had
horse.
talent in his own right. Just tough to live up to that to live up to that big sis for sure.
Well, and it's like, I mean, big shadows are always the hardest to outrun, aren't they? Like,
No, absolutely.
it's an impossible ask anyway. It is always very, very hard. It's almost always an impossible ask. It's very hard to do. But it's a massive shadow to outrun. And I think it's kind of the same situation of all the offspring that you will see later on down of these Kentucky Oaks winners. I think, Rachel Alexandra was one, her Proud Spell and Rags to Riches, kind of that 3 year span, are, and well, and Lemons River are some of like the most pointed kind of like proof of that, where it's like I sometimes it they have fantastic luck and talent on the track, and then later on they retire and they do fantastic things as a broodmare, and they create their own little line, or they just have the worst luck ever. And like we saw that with Rachel Alexandra, with she had two, and after that they were like, we're not doing that again. And it's a strike of lightning. Like they're serious when they say, like, it's literally sometimes it's you have about the same luck as getting struck by lightning. And sometimes luck is in your favor and sometimes it isn't. And it's a bummer. But the Oaks has
That's right.
produced its fair amount of really, really nice race mares turned brood mares. So I definitely, and I saw Blushing KD down here. Isn't the Blushing KD a turf race now too? I didn't know she was
Yeah,
an
it is
Oaks
a turf
winner.
race in the
That's wild. I didn't know that. See, I learn things
Well,
all the
Patty.
time.
Yeah, there you go. Every day is an opportunity to learn.
I know.
But you're talking about outrunning a shadow, and I'm gonna have to outrun my shadow from picking the Derby winner last year.
Oh,
When I
yeah,
told
that's
you Mage, when I
right.
told you Mage was the horse to beat.
Yep.
And we're gonna do that on our next episode on the Wednesday before Derby and Oaks, as we break down the both fields and we all put in our selections. And we will do that next week. And hopefully this week everybody has enjoyed our discussion and our little quick little history lesson on the Kentucky Oaks. And can't wait to see the field drawn up, I guess, Friday. Is that
I
right?
think so. They need,
Sometime this weekend.
yeah. It, yeah. I think it's, if it's not Friday, it'll definitely be out by Saturday. I think they're gonna try and have the stuff done by the time Monday rolls in,
Well, I can
because then it's
tell
the
you in just one
defection
second.
time. It'll also be interesting to see how, I'm hoping everybody stays healthy and that we kind of get this race, because at least the Oaks almost always ends up one of the most competitive races every single year.
So the entries for the Oaks are Saturday, as are I believe, the entries for the Derby also on Saturday. So it'll be a double entry day. We'll see the fields for the Derby. We'll see the fields for the Oaks, and that'll give us a few days extra to study these things, Patty, and come up with our picks. And what? Hey, I tell you what. If anybody wants to send their picks in to us before we record, send them to us, and we'll share. I think we're going to record early next week or maybe
Yep.
Sunday. I'm not sure. Anyway, send us
We'll
your picks.
keep sending them in. Keep sending them
Yeah.
in, and if we happen to read out as somebody's winner on here, we might send you something nice.
Beat the hosts.
Yeah, beat the hosts.
All right, Patty. It's late Tuesday night. I gotta get up and I gotta work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can't just talk all day.
Yeah, that's a bummer, isn't it? Oh, goodness. All right. Well, so we don't hold him over and we don't get you in trouble later. Thanks for everybody for tuning in this week. Make sure that you are subscribed to our channels. You can find all of our, find links to our podcasts on there. We post them all the time. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. We're under Pocket Aces Racing. We have plenty of different options available to listen to this podcast. So if you aren't seeing anything on there, just click on one of the links we've provided on our social medias and you'll be able to see kind of all your options from there. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. We did recently post our segmented recaps of the open house and all four of the 2-year-olds that had availabilities. Those recaps are up there. They are live. You can watch them now. Make sure that you hit the bell so that you get those notifications when they do go live. And then as we start getting projects and features going, you'll get notifications for those as well. And then as I tell everybody every Wednesday, have a happy Wednesday. Have a good Wednesday. Make good choices. Podcast is out.